Good morning. Welcome to Bluffton Community this morning. I almost said Lighthouse. Oh, that would have been bad. It is so good to see each and every person here. We are so thrilled to see the blessings of God. You know, we're in the new building there on County Road 99. We drove by on the way out, and both parking lots were full. People are coming out to church this morning, and it's just so good to see everyone here. My name is Larry Sewell. I'm one of the elders up at Lighthouse. I get to hang around with Fritz, and sometimes Marty and Ben, and we kind of lead the churches together, and it's great to be here with you. Now, a couple weeks ago, I found myself on the side of County Road, not County Road, US 23, you know, US 23 coming up, and it's nighttime, trucks are whizzing by at 65 miles an hour, and Debbie bagged a buck with our Toyota. You know, some of you have gotten a buck before. We got one with a 2.5-liter Toyota. She's fine. The car's in the shop. They tell me that they might be able to do something with it. I'm not sure. But anyway, while we were there in the dark, and this driver who is loading my car on a flatbed to tow it away, you can see that he has some real physical issues, okay? Like there's been an accident, there's been something. And all of a sudden, he just starts to spill his guts. He starts to tell me all about his story. He's probably a man 40 years old, maybe. And he told me about being involved in this terrible accident. He was in the hospital for 7 months and then rehab after that. He had 10 surgeries. Pins and screws and rods to put things back together. And he wears in his body the scars from this really serious accident. He was in a coma for 2 full weeks. And during that time, he said, I remember us talking about me, and I couldn't respond to them. I had no capacity to respond, but I could hear what was going on. He said at one point, there were lights so bright, brighter than anything I've ever seen before, like right in front of my face. And I have no idea what that was, is this enormous bright light shining right in my face. I mean, it's an incredible story, right? And as I'm sitting there talking to him, you know, semis are whizzing by. It's 9 o'clock at night, and we're having this conversation at the side of the road, right? My heart starts to move toward this guy, right? I'm like, I wonder where this man is spiritually. I wonder what's going on in his head, right? And so I'm trying to figure out what to say, right? So finally, I said to him, I said, you know, I have a question for you. Do you believe in God? You've obviously have had like a tremendous 2 years of life just gone by, and you wear the scars that you're going to wear these forever in your body. Do you believe in God? Do you think there is a purpose for everything that has happened to you in the last 2 years? And then he hesitated. And you could tell he was collecting his thoughts. And I wasn't sure. I had no idea how this guy's going to respond. I'd never seen him or met him before, right? And finally, he says to me, I am not sure if there is a God. I'm just not sure. I've heard lots of stuff. I have a bunch of preachers among my uncles. I've heard people, church people talk a lot in life. He struggles with the idea that God has always been. That's his hang-up. And as he's telling me what, you know, his problem is with the gospel, you know, with Christianity, I asked him this question. I said, well, if there is no God, then here's my next question. Where'd the dirt come from? You know, we're standing on a world. There is a physical reality that we're part of. And if God didn't create it, where did it come from? There is something that's eternal. If it's not God, what is it? And you know what? He's just as troubled by that question. You know, he just can't answer the question of how everything that he sees around him got here. You know, the world we live in either points to God or it does not point to God. And you have to make your mind up at some point what you're going to believe. You can never know what's going through the mind of a tow truck driver on 23 at 9 o'clock at night on a random Thursday, you know? He's thinking about this stuff. He'd like to know what's true. He was crystal clear with me. He's saying is, I don't know. And I don't know where to go to figure this thing out. That's what he's saying. I just don't know. So what he trusts is his own instincts. He's heard lots of religious stuff. He's heard all kinds of people talk about this topic, you know, and what to believe. He's kind of distilled it all down, and he's come to the conclusion of what he thinks is probably true, and that's where he hangs out today. And so I would ask you this question. Do you believe in God? Are you certain about that topic? You know, all of us have to answer that question at some point in life, whether God's there or whether God's not, what we really believe about that topic. You can say all kinds of stuff to all people, right? But when you're alone and you're sitting there in the dark, or maybe you're awake at 3 a.m. thinking about that question, it matters a great deal to know what you think about God. Now, if the Bible is God's word, that means that God has communicated to us in human language, that we can know what God has said. In fact, I would say this. It is essential that we figure out how to read the Bible, because this is the only way to figure out what's true about God. That's why we read the Bible, because it leads us to truth. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus said these words, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." God has spoken to us in words, human language that we can know. Let's pray together as we begin this morning. God, I pray for a sense of desperation in this room, that hearts and minds would be desperate to know you. Like this driver, that they would be curious and interested and desperate to know you. I also pray for a spirit of discernment, that we would, as collectively, as folks in this room, people hearing, would understand how to discern between stuff that's nonsense and what's true. We pray for that. And we pray also for the gift of faith. We know that faith is a good gift from you. And we pray for that. We pray for the gift of faith for each person in this room. Today is how to read the Bible. And I'd like to talk first about the principal reason why we read the scriptures to start. Secondly, I'd like to talk about some things that the Bible says about itself. Thirdly, some practical advice to start, just to help get started reading the Bible. And then finally, I want to finish up with some personal comments about the topic. So first, the principal reason that we read the Bible. This comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and it says this, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Not only has God spoken to us in the scriptures, the Bible itself says that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's an interesting thought. Without faith, a person cannot please God, okay? It all begins with a recognition that God exists. But you have to remember that seeking God comes with a very specific reward. And we'll talk about that just a bit. One of the most insightful accounts in the life of Jesus related to this topic of faith comes in Mark chapter 9. Jesus is having an interaction with a man whose son, a boy, is demon-possessed. And this is the interaction. Jesus asks the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "Well, from childhood," he answered. "It's often thrown him into the fire or into the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us. Help us." Jesus replies to him, "If you can," this is Jesus, right? "Everything is possible for a person who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. The reason I like this passage is because it tells us something very essential about the character of God. It tells us something important. We know that God detests hypocrisy. We know that. People who say one thing and do something else. God hates that kind of behavior. But it's God's kindness. It's God's goodness. It's his grace that leads us to repentance, that leads us to turn from sin and leads us to turn to him. It's his goodness that draws us in, not his anger or his meanness. It's his kindness. It is okay to pray real prayers like this man prayed. I do believe, but help my sense of unbelief. We don't need to pretend when we're talking to God. We can pray honest prayers and ask God to increase our faith. And it's essential to remember, if I haven't mentioned it three times, that there is a reward, a specific reward, for those who seek God earnestly. As I think back to my conversation with my tow truck driver by the side of the road last month, it seems very clear to me that this man was operating from the same perspective that most people operate from, okay? They make sense in their own mind of what they hear. Maybe they hear religious stuff, and they hear philosophical stuff, and they hear all this, and they put together something that you could call his truth. What's true for him? And even after seeing these bright lights, you know, whatever that was about when he was in a coma, he never really thinks about the idea that maybe truth exists outside of his own perception. Rather than being my truth or your truth and it's different between people, maybe truth exists. Maybe that's something we can find. Maybe we can figure that thing out. What the Bible gives us is the opportunity to actually get away from our own thoughts and actually step into hearing the voice of God himself. That's what the Bible allows us to do, to push aside my truth and actually dial into what God has said. In John chapter 5, Jesus is speaking to some religious leaders, and he says something very interesting about the scriptures, about the Bible. He says this, you know, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. And yet, you refuse to come to me that you might have life. He's talking about eternal life. That's what's in view here. You know, seeking God in the scripture is important because that's how you find life. That's how you find eternal life. But in this passage, Jesus is inferring something else. He's saying it is possible to be religious, okay, and to seek for God in the scriptures and yet miss Jesus in the process. Okay? Jesus is the center point of Scripture. That's what everything points to. Everything accumulates and points right at Jesus himself. We're not talking about becoming smarter through an academic exercise. What we're talking about is eternal life. We're talking about new life in Christ. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about salvation from sin, forgiveness, and new life, new heart, new mind. And I think there's a call here in this verse. And I think the call is this, to avoid reading the Bible as religious literature. To avoid that. To avoid reading it for life hacks or to read it as history or to read it as philosophy, but instead to read it for what it is. It's not a book to master as much as it is a book that points us to God. The call of reading the scriptures, a supernatural book, okay, is to discover God, to find him, to understand his character, and to let him into your life. That's the reason that we study the scriptures. So the first point is to recognize the principal reason for reading the Bible. It is to seek God, nothing else. It's to seek God. And the reward for seeking God diligently in the scriptures is that if you do that, you will find him there. Those who seek him, find him. He's not hidden. It's completely understandable. Okay, not completely understandable. You can understand and know God. When you find God in the scriptures, you will also find all of the other things that you're really looking for. It all comes together. The second thing I'd like to talk about today is what the Bible says about itself. The Holy Spirit is called in the scriptures the Spirit of Truth, the one who brings us truth, teaches us. In the very last week of Jesus' life, he's saying all kinds of things to the disciples, right? The last week before he's going to be arrested, he's going to leave this world, right? And in John chapter 16, he says this, but when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He won't speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit exposes to us everything that God wants us to know. That's his role, the Spirit of Truth, the one who reveals God. We're not talking about religious ideas that are better than other religious ideas. What we're talking about is things that are objectively true communicated to us by God. So we're not talking about comparative religious systems. We're talking a great perspective. We're talking about something that's reliable and unchanging, truth revealed by God. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings salvation and a heart change for believers. The Holy Spirit is the one who shows us to ourselves, that allows us to see ourselves in a clear light. The Holy Spirit seals us, seals believers for eternity. Christians know his voice. They can sense that as they read the scriptures. They know what God is telling them. But the Holy Spirit is also the one who brought the Bible to us in the first place. He's the one behind the scriptures that came to us at the very beginning. Peter, one of the original apostles of Jesus, one who was a friend of Jesus, one who saw the resurrection and knew the whole story of the life of Jesus, he says this in his second letter, beginning at chapter 2, verse 19. We also have the prophetic messages as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's the mechanism by which the scriptures came to us. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, carried along the human authors as they spoke the Bible. Christians are born again by the Word of God, right? That thing which is eternal, that thing which is powerful, it's living and active and able to change our lives, is the Word of God. Near the end of the passage, Peter is really clear that the Word of God came as prophets, as writers of Scripture were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You might say it this way, the Holy Spirit guided and directed in such a way that the writer's own thoughts and ideas are not what we read, but instead it's God's message. You could say it this way, it's like the wind blowing a sailboat, okay, to the destination, you know, so that God's communication is the end result as we see the scriptures. In Galatians, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. What he's saying is that the Bible is a supernatural book. It's not something with human origin. It's something outside of our own thoughts. What we're talking about is something that's more than paper and ink. We're talking about the creator of this universe communicating to us in human language so that we can know him. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about the scriptures. So we've talked a little bit about the reason for knowing or for reading the Bible, and that's to earnestly seek God, remembering that there's a reward associated with that. We've also talked a little bit about how the Bible came to us. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has revealed to us the truth that God wants us to know. It came from the Holy Spirit, the one who points us to God. And I want to talk a little bit about some practical advice for reading the Bible that anyone in this room can follow, even if you can't read, because you can follow this advice listening to the scriptures on a podcast just as much as reading it in a paper Bible. There are four steps. First of all, you pray before you start. You pray before you start because we're accessing something that is a supernatural book, right? We need the help of the Spirit of God as we read. We're not talking about business principles or psychology. We're talking about God's Word, something that's supernatural, something that's beyond us that we're trying to grasp. So we pray before we start. Now, if you're earnestly seeking God, you can pray to God and ask him to help you. Now, this is my prayer. I want to demystify this just a little bit. Okay, this is what I pray before I read the scriptures. I pray, God, will you please open my mind and my heart to see Jesus as I read the scriptures today? That's what I pray before I open the Bible. That God would just open my mind, open my heart, that I would see what's true in this book as I read. If you were here earlier when we did our Hebrew study just a couple months back, you'll know that you don't need a priest to pray for you and to bring you into the presence of God. You don't need a bag of good deeds. You don't need a cleaned up life. You don't need any of that stuff. What you need is Jesus as your forgiver and leader, because Jesus takes us into the presence of God himself. In fact, Jesus is our intercessor. He prays words when we can't even come up with the words to say in prayer. He puts words to that before the Father so God can hear our prayer. The triune God is for us, not against us, leading us to him. You can be certain that God hears when you pray. The Bible is full of examples of ordinary people, young people and old, who pray to God and he hears them. You can be certain that God hears you when you pray. Please help me see Jesus as I study your word today. The second thing I'd say is to start with the Bible. That might seem like an underwhelming point to start with the Bible, right? But let me ask you a question, okay, with an obvious answer. Okay, would you rather hear from God directly, or would you rather hear from somebody else who's interpreted what God has said? Which would you rather hear? You know, I would rather hear from God directly. Now, Bible footnotes, Bible commentaries, books about the Bible, devotionals, all these different things out there. People, I think, genuinely trying to help us in our faith. They do all these things, but you know what that is? That's somebody else telling us about what God has said. And what I'm suggesting is that we can actually read the Bible ourselves and hear directly from God, rather than hearing a filtered view, hear it firsthand. Now, I'm not saying those things are bad, okay? I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is they have more value later, after you've read the scripture and maybe after you have questions that you need help understanding. At that point, some of those resources can be real helpful. But the starting point is not looking at resources or what someone else has said or hearing a podcast. The starting point is actually hearing what God has said in his word, because he's communicated to us in human language. The third step is to begin with a recognized English translation that's easy for you to read. You know, why not start with something that you can read? All of the major translations of scripture start with the same Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic manuscripts. They all have the same starting point. Now, translation teams get together, scholars, to put together translations. Sometimes they work from a word-for-word translation logic. Other times it's a idea-by-idea translation logic. And so sometimes translations can seem very different. But I will assure you this, on the major accepted translations, as clear as they possibly can. Greek and Hebrew are very different kinds of languages than English. The structure is completely different, and sometimes the translation's hard. I don't know that it's better to have a word-for-word or a thought-by-thought. I just don't know which is better. But I do know this, that they're trying to make the scriptures as clear as they possibly can. The NIV, New International Version, the NLT, New Living Translation, the ESV, English Standard Version, there are more, but those were all great translations, and any of them are great. I have said in the past that the New Living Translation absolutely changed my life. Back in 2010, when I read that from a place of pretty serious desperation seeking God, to actually read that thing from cover to cover, it felt like I was simply reading it for the first time. I'd read lots of other translations and sometimes confused in the language. Now, this year, I've switched to the New International Version for one reason, and that is because I don't want the familiarity of Scripture to cause me to gloss over as I read. So I went to another good translation to read to make sure that I see it fresh again as I read. So I'm on to the New International Version this year reading instead of something else. Sometimes just slightly different words strike me in a different way, and I hear the voice of God as I do that. I know people who are dedicated to one tradition and only one translation, and sometimes really loud about that. And personally, I don't think there's any debate or any reason to debate with them about which translation's better, because they already have their minds made up. But this is something I would debate. If you're not hearing from God as you read the scriptures, you might want to consider doing something else where you find his voice. The next thing I'd say is to start easy as you read the scripture. Start in an easy place. Now, most of you know that the New Testament begins with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four Gospels, four accounts of the life of Jesus. And I would say that's like one of the best places you can possibly start reading the scripture, the life of Jesus. Now, my favorite is the Gospel of John, and for one reason. The Gospel of John is 21 chapters. You can read like one chapter a day for 21 days and actually read the entire Gospel of John and kind of think it through in less than a month, right? But the Gospel of John is out. And then the other Gospels kind of fill in around that. But if you start in the Gospels, they're not difficult to read. There's lots to think about there. And that's a starting point to understand who Jesus is, which is the center point of all Scripture, right? You know, from there, you can go to the book of Acts, right? And that's what happened right after the time of Jesus. You know, Jesus is ascended, and Acts is the starting point of the church. You know, everything's fresh and new, and the disciples are sharing the gospel. People are saying yes to Jesus. Baptisms are happening. It's this crazy thing is happening, and you can read all about the early church right there. You know, I've been kind of reading the gospels again this fall, and then I finally broke out of the gospels into the book of Acts again as I'm thinking about County Road 99 and all God is doing up at Lighthouse and the new building. It's really, really incredible to see what God is doing in the life and hearts of people. And it kind of makes me feel a little bit like the book of Acts, what God was doing at that time in history. You know, if you've been in the church for 20 years and you're not really reading the scriptures, I would suggest maybe the Gospels or the book of Acts might be a place to start. To actually start reading the scripture yourself and start thinking about what God has said. If you've never read the scriptures at all, you start at the same place, right there. After the book of Acts, we see lots of letters to churches. You know, these are like the, the letters to the Corinthian church and the Philippian church and the church at Ephesus and all these churches and letters to Timothy and letters written by John, all of these letters written to churches and to individuals that tell us everything God wants us to know for our time. It's all right there for us to read and to think about in the New Testament. If you ask me for my two best ideas, I would say one idea, there's a 30-day Jesus, Who is Jesus reading plan that we use at Lighthouse and Bluff, and you can find that online. They may have it here. 30 days, short passages that point to Jesus. The second best idea would be to read a gospel account of the life of Jesus. You may have seen this book. I've given hundreds of these away, literally, to people who've never read the Bible before. It's called The How to Find God, New Testament in the New Living Translation. We have these right back there, and they're free. You can grab one of these. The thing I like about this is it's New Living. It's very, very easy English to read, but also has a bunch of questions in the front. I call them the kinds of questions to Scripture to read about answers to questions that you might have. And that would be something that I would encourage. I want to go now to the fourth point today. I just want to share some personal information about reading the Scriptures. I became a believer when I was 12 years old. I had never heard the gospel before that, and I heard the gospel and I believed. And immediately I sensed the Holy Spirit was with me. I sensed that. Wasn't sure really where to turn and what to do with that. My background had lots of influences. I had a lot of Catholic friends who were kind of dialed into that whole thing. I was attending a church where I would say they were very oppressive, kind of a rules-based. They were looking for conformity. That's what they wanted, right? I had friends who lived on this emotional roller coaster. You know, they were all trying to do, you know, find God through concerts and all these ecstatic experiences. And as a kid, I'm like 13 years old. I'm looking at all this stuff and saying, I don't really know. I'm not really sure. And so at the end of college, I decided that what I was going to do, I was going to work for 10 years, and I was going to figure this faith thing out. I was going to figure it out. 10 years turned to 25. And lots of people would say that I was pretty successful by lots of measures in business where I was working. But while all that was going on, I was dying inside. I wanted to know God, you know. I didn't care about religion. I didn't care about any of that stuff. What I wanted to know God. I sensed the Spirit was in me drawing me, but I felt completely disconnected from God. I was a leader, an elder in a church at the time, and I felt completely disconnected from God. So in January of 2009, I was in New York City, and I'm doing this presentation to major shareholders and all this stuff, right? And I'm supposed to be communicating a strategic plan and talking about the future and the industry and all that. And instead, I resigned that day. I left. I should have talked to my wife before I did that. For the first time in 25 years, I now had time. I had been working like 60, I don't know, whatever hours a week. I was a workaholic. I was constantly at the business, 25 years of that. And for the first time, I had time, right? So I find myself in this bookstore, Christian bookstore, and the guy's working there, and you know, I kind of interacted a little bit. I said, hey, you know, I'm looking for help to actually, and he said, well, you know, some people read this New Living Translation. And he walks away. So I bought one, right? And I read that Bible that year from cover to cover. And it was the weirdest thing because this is what it felt like. It felt like I'm at a coffee table reading the Scripture, talking to God as I'm reading His Word right there from the Scriptures. It was a very personal, intimate year actually reading the Scripture as if it had been for the first time ever. Maybe not everybody has to reach a point of desperation to find God in a real way. You know, I hope not, but maybe it's true. I don't know. For me, it was true. I had to find a point of desperation before I actually started listening to what the Scriptures said. And that's probably the most remarkable period of time in my life, a year, spending just reading the scriptures. God spoke to me clearly through the pages of the Bible. That's what happened that year. I remember thinking, as I was reading, I wonder how those preachers get what they talk about after reading this book, because they seem so disconnected. And I felt so far from God before, and I was drawing near to God. That promise, all the way back from the book of Hebrews, is true. If you seek God earnestly, you will find him. God has communicated to us in his word. And if you'll spend time reading the scriptures, you'll find God there. That's what will happen. It doesn't matter if you've been in the church for 25 years or if this is your first Sunday and you've never heard about God before. If you seek him, you'll find him there, because God has revealed himself in the pages of scripture. I cannot relive years spent doing business stuff and chasing trinkets. I can't really relive that those years, right? That's just kind of, those years are past, right? But I would tell you this, the notion that living life on my own and finding God later in life is craziness. You know, seek God today. I share a great deal of headspace with my tow truck driver, okay? We just had this conversation on the side of the road. I don't know him well, but one thing, religion, I know that about him. He wants to know what's true, what's reliable, what's eternal, that he can rest in. That's what he wants to know. My prayer for him now is that he will move from his own thoughts, okay, and actually start looking at scripture, and maybe that God would kind of crash into his world and that he would start seeking God in authenticity, because I think if he does, he'll find him. The Bible is capable of changing your life, giving you new life, and knowing him in an intimate way. If you start seeking God without precondition, you'll find him in the pages of the scripture. And you'll also find salvation and freedom from sin. You'll find awareness and recognition of his presence in your daily life. You'll find an organic change process happening inside of you, where like the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and care for other people starts to flow through your life. You'll find that. All of the things that you really want in life are actually byproducts of knowing God. All the things you really want desperately are found there, not somewhere else. We read the Bible to know God. That's the message today.